Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
How we doing out there in podcast land, everybody? It's Dale Lippin in here with my bro host, Trey Van Buskirk. How are you, brother?
I'm having a bitching day.
Yeah, just okay. Now, catch me up to speed on California lingo. Is bitching day a good day or a bad day?
I'm so happy you picked up on that. Actually, I feel like no one utilizes the word bitching anymore. I'm going to bring that bitch back.
You're bringing it back. Okay, so explain to me what you mean when you say you're having that type of day.
Bitching. I'm having a killer day. It's all vibes are good. They weren't good this entire week thus far. But you know, we can rehash that now.
Well, I need to. So if you're having such a good day, how come I haven't heard from you at all?
Oh, well, no, the best part of my day is right now what we're actually doing. The rest of my day was a fucking nightmare.
I got you. Yeah. This is a welcome island of sanity and safety in my week. Sometimes it sucks though that it happens on a Tuesday, because I almost kind of need this as the week progresses. So a Wednesday show is kind of nice, man, because it's right smack dab in the middle, hump day, you know. And it's nice. I've been looking forward to just sitting down and just talking about what I want to talk about all day today.
That's fine. I do like that you said hump day. There's a reason we could never do this on Wednesday, because it would just get way sexual on this podcast, and I can't have it. I send it back.
No, yeah. We try to keep it as unsexual as possible. We really want this to be a sexless podcast, if need be. If it gets any sexier between your Aryan looks and my audio velvet, it's just things that it'll get, you know,
canceled.
It will get canceled very quickly. We'll get canceled super fast. So let's talk about something real quick. before we read show sponsors and all that kind of stuff, the idea of canceled one, I did have something that popped up this week and we're going to talk about a couple different things within the MMA space tonight. We're obviously going to break down this card. We have Aspen Ladd, going from missing weight, with the whole period gate to now being a main event against, Norma Dumont. So we're going to cover this entire card. All of your normal punch list stuff is coming, but we've had a couple things happen this week that has got some things that you and I want to talk about. You crack the Cutwater. They don't sponsor us, so we'll just get that out of the way now. But I do want to talk about something real quick, and this happened last week, and you may or may not be aware. But we're going to start with this one, and we'll get to the other ones that we have planned. I'm drinking a Joggling Board lager made by our friends over at Oak Road Brewery, who, you know, have been very supportive of us for a long time now. They keep me pretty hydrated when it comes to the liquids, and I appreciate them very much.
Yes. Yeah.
Their owner, one of their owners and founders, Ben, not only is a veteran, but has done some stuff with Allegiance, who we love and adore, who's a show sponsor. And then one of their other owners, Rebecca, is our attorney for the podcast. So we love them very much.
Yeah. She's going to come in very useful here shortly.
Yeah. So let's get her number on standby. They put out, they do a commemorative beer every October for breast cancer awareness. This year's beer, they called Second Base. Last year's beer was called Side Boob. It's all boob related because it's for the boobs, right?
Yeah.
And they ran a, some ad work that was done by the same people that made our shirts that will eventually be coming out. If you ever send Roy the designs, Baked Cat Studio, they did some ad work for them where the girls that brewed the beer, cause it was brewed by women, they took their shirt off. So it was them in their bras with the beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting to second base.
Yeah.
They got dragged.
By the way, Dan.
Yeah.
A marketing tactic that's been utilized for hundreds of years.
Yes. Alcohol and boobs is essentially peanut butter and jelly for the adult. It's
marketing 101.
Yes. It's chocolate and peanut butter. A lot of peanut butter, but yes, it's very much that.
Yeah.
They got dragged. And every brewery, essentially in the Southeast, and every woman brewer, came after them and said it was blatantly sexist and regressive and harmful to the image of women in the brewing space.
Right.
I don't agree with this.
No.
And I want to be, I'm not being careful, but I'm being deliberate in what I'm saying here. If you don't like content that's in front of your face, you have the option to not partake in the content anymore. Just keep it moving. The women that were displayed in the ad not only made the beer, but of their own free will and accord chose to be there. And the fact that people within their own space chose to attack them for expressing themselves how they saw fit, how they decided to make their content, and they wanted to be little vicious trolls about it and go after them and try to bring in this cancel culture nonsense is exactly that. It's ludicrous. Allow people to be of free enterprise and pursue their dreams, passions, and desires the way they want to. And if you don't like it, just stay the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that?
No, because it coincides a lot with me losing a head coach this past weekend, which infuriated me to a different level.
Right.
Yeah. So
if you don't like it, keep it moving. And we're going to talk about John Gruden here at the end of the show, because I do want to talk about that idea of the cancel culture and things like that. But the reason why I bring this up from a content creation standpoint is that we will continue to have people reach out to us and other content creators, especially other content creators that we know that take chances, right? And there's a few of them out there. When you put yourself out there and then you choose to go after them, that's, again, that is your right to do so. You are of your own, again, own free will and accord. I'll keep saying that. You can do that if you choose. But it requires a lot of energy on your part. It'd be a lot easier to keep it moving rather than come at people for making and doing the things that they want. Most people that we encounter that our show think we're okay. We get the occasional person that thinks that I'm an idiot. More so me than anything else. For some reason, I grate people. You're kind of universally beloved. You're like Winnie the Pooh. For some reason, people just, they love you. That being said, just keep it moving. If you don't like it, keep it moving. And if you want to say something, be prepared to have something said back. Because yeah, to be honest with you, and this is just you and I for sure, but this is the way the world should be, is nobody truly, truly, and this exists in nature all the way up through the hierarchy of all beings. Nobody gives a fuck about your feelings. Nobody cares about them. So just keep it moving. If you don't like what we're doing, I appreciate you. See you. We've said it before. Leave us a review. Love us, hate us, leave us a review. Don't watch a show. Thumbs up, thumbs down, comment. I don't care. Just do what you want to do. Stop trying to cancel people, one, because you're bored, and two, because you've got nothing else better to do, or because your feelings are hurt. Your feelings being hurt are like pissing your pants. Nobody feels that but you. Keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. It sounds warm and fuzzy. I was just, when you said pee your pants, I think about when I surf and I piss myself and I just fill my suit. It's the most glorious feeling. But again, I'm the only one that feels it.
Let me ask you something, because you surf a lot. Is it true that if you poop in the water, it attracts sharks?
First off, poop floats, so never do that because
I know poop floats. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it attracts sharks, but you're definitely not going to attract any friends, Dale.
Well, I heard it was called, don't they call it shark bait? Isn't a turd considered shark bait?
No, absolutely not.
Or when it's you poop like in the water, they don't call it chum in the water?
That chum.
I don't know surfer exactly lingo. You got to help me out here.
You know what chumming in the water is, and it's not pooping yourself to attract sharks. It's not that.
What is it? I don't know what it is. Truthfully, chumming I don't know what it is.
Chumming the water is like taking dead fish heads and throwing, put a bunch of blood guts and stuff out there. Yeah. So there's no poop involved.
Well, no, but I'm saying like from a surfing perspective, like poor man's chum is you go out in the water and you take a dump.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is it?
No, I understand your logic there. That's not a thing.
Okay.
I don't know who told you that. Yeah.
I don't surf. I'm terrified of the ocean. So I have no idea about any of this thing. All right. Before we get too far into the show, I do want to say, a giant thank you to our friends over at Stay Classy Meats. Before we start breaking down the fights, which are just around the corner, huge thank you to our friends over at Stay Classy Meats. Trey, I just got an eighth of a cow in the mail today.
How do they ship that?
In a box that if you didn't know better, you would think would be the box that Wayfair.com sells little kids into elite politicians. That's how big this box is. It's gigantic. Gigantic.
I want to know, when you got that eighth of cow, did you get to pick like one out? Like, oh, I want Chloe or I want Tina. Did you get to pick that cow?
You know what? You don't get to pick it out, but it is numbered. So it's like all, like mine says, I think it's 9801. So all of the cow that I'm eating is number 9801. So whoever 9801 was.
It's fucking dead.
Appreciate you. I appreciate you. 9801. You're my dog. I appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, so all of my stuff. T's and P's, baby. Pour one out for 9801. Yeah, I mean, it's all numbered from the same cow. So I appreciate you, 9801. And dude, what cracks me up is just a few weeks ago, 9801 was just walking around Montana, just living its best life. Now it's in my freezer downstairs. Shout out to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST. You save 10% on 9802. Place your order right now. You might get 9802.
It's hardcore. It's hardcore. I don't know if I'm that hardcore. I'm one of those things like out of sight, out of mind, but I love where I know my meat's coming from a good place, but I put on this facade, bro. I put on this like hard shell. Like I walk around, I got the cauliflower going. Like people are like, oh, he's hardcore. Not because I'm a hardcore person. It's because how I dress myself, dude.
Yeah.
I dress myself like a gun toting American son of a bitch. I've never shot a gun. I've never held a gun.
You're such a poser.
But I'm the most goddamn American flag walking around guy on the planet. And the reason is I go to allegianceclothing.com. I utilize our code PUNCH and it gets me 15% off site wide. I'm getting a discount and I'm looking radical the entire time.
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire here. Can you please send Roy the vectors for the shirt so we can get our shirts made?
I did. He went on like seven honeymoons. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. Well, he sells a lot of t-shirts. Thanks to somebody. I mean, I'm just send him the thing, man. Or we gotta get this going.
I'm on it. All right. I'm on it.
You're on it. Cool. Anyway. All right. Let's break down some fights. Yeah.
I'm ready, dude. This is another stacked card. Here we go.
Dude, I got my multi-tool in the mail today.
You did.
I did.
I don't understand the whole point of that thing. It's like a glorified like pocket watch.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, all right. So I used to carry a multi-tool all the time when I was in the military because, you know, just you never know. You need something on the flight line or wherever the case may be. It's important to have pliers, a knife, whatever the case may be. Producer Jake, I'm sure, carried a multi-tool, didn't you, Jake? How many Gerbers have you lost in your life, Producer Jake? He's smoking darts. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
He's got so many darts going.
He said four or five. It's a lot. It's expensive.
Four darts or four tools? What is he talking about?
Four tools.
Okay.
Not counting the tool in his hand, but yes, Producer Jake's in the back. So anyway, it's not practical to carry one of those now, and I don't need it, but I do need stuff from time to time. You know I carry a knife. You know I carry a gun, but I needed a small universal multi-tool and I didn't want a foldable Gerber. So check this out. Let me pull this up so you can see it.
I don't get it. Like, one, do you think you're MacGyver? Two,
no.
Why are you carrying around all this shit? You're carrying guns, knives, multi-tools. Like, are you just like constantly worried you're going to get murdered?
No. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I'm completely at peace knowing that I have a fighting chance to not get murdered. And that's the difference between South Carolina and California.
Well, because I rely on HOA security. They patrol at least once a day.
Right. Yeah. I don't need any of that. Okay. No desire. So anyway, one, it's got a knuckle protector, which I absolutely love. Yeah. Then it's got a Phillips head and a flathead bit that fits right into that hole right there, if need be. You've got a pry bar as well as a bottle opener. Dude, I freaking love this thing. It's lightweight. It's super sturdy. I love it. I love it. I'm so excited. I'm not going to shout them out because they don't sponsor us. But if you want to know where I got this, it is an all-American made company by some good old boys in the backwoods of Pennsylvania. I got you. Just shoot me a little DM. I got you. All right.
If you want a glorified bottle opener, you know where to go.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'll glorified bottle open your face. All right. First fight on the main card, Julian Marquez at 9-2, taking on Jordan Wright, 12-1. Boy, oh boy, isn't this something? This is like, I don't know, this is Democrat and Republican. We got a Cuban versus a Beverly Hills white guy. It's essentially what it is. You got the Beverly Hills Ninja versus Julian Marquez, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Marquez minus 260, Jordan Wright plus 220, over under rounds is at 1.5. And I'm going to be honest with you, Trey, I don't think that line's wide enough. Julian Marquez should murder Jordan Wright.
Yeah, I think, first off, Jordan Wright pisses me off because how can you take that nickname?
I mean, isn't he from Beverly Hills?
Well, it doesn't matter. That lies in RIP, one of the greatest actors of all time. You can't touch it, dude.
Well, here's the thing, is that who's going to tell him no? Are you going to go tell him he can't do it?
No.
Okay. So
I am going to tell him that I think his style's weird. I hate that bouncing karate style he does. I do like that he has a 5-inch reach advantage, but I also think he has a glass chin, dude. And when you're going against the freaking Cuban Missile Crisis, who is the most durable dude on the planet, who is strong, I think that he could close that distance, clip Jordan Wright, put him out, game over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think a win over Jamie Pickett is necessarily, you know, having people line up to see you fight again. Although he did, you know, it was, he did knee him and then, you know, finish him with some ground and pound. He's coming off that loss to Joaquin Buckley. He is exciting if he's effective, but I just don't see him getting the opportunity to move around and execute the way he wants to inside the apex against a guy like Marquez, who's going to press up against him. I like Marquez here. And we don't have a lot to go off as far as Jordan Wright's how he likes to lose, because he's only lost once, a professional record of 12-1. So there is that. He was also, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he was undefeated as an amateur. I don't want to say I know you said he has a glass jaw, right? Or a glass chin. And that may be the case, but we've seen Joaquin Buckley and he hits hard. So maybe there is a little bit to that. But what I am concerned with is gas tank. He is a guy that does not appear to manage any sort of energy the proper way. And as this fight goes into the latter rounds, which I believe if you're Julian Marquez, you want it to, wrestle heavy approach, gas Jordan right out. Don't let him dance around. Push the action up against the cage. Drag him down. Make him work. Last thing to think about here is that Jordan Wright is coming out of Jackson Wink, which is in complete turmoil right now with their flagship athlete and all sorts of nonsense, as he's prone to do. So that will either help or hurt. Yet to see. I'm excited. Julian Marquez, minus 260, probably looking at him as confident enough to be a parlay piece. Most likely going to be in one, but I'm probably looking at inside the distance play here. That'll probably be a little chalky as well, but I'll take a chalky minus 180 that I feel really confident in and stack it up with something else as well. So I really like this fight. I think this is a good opportunity to make money off Marquez and an inside the distance play.
I agree. I wouldn't touch the 1.5 though. If you're anything, probably north of that, but definitely don't play the under.
Yeah, I just don't want to touch it because what if Wright comes out and clips him, right? Or what if Julian Marquez comes out there and just absolutely takes him down and hits him with some sharp elbows or something like that? You just don't want to take the chance with it. Just take the safer money. Give yourself that other 7.5 minutes and just take the inside the distance.
Yeah.
All right, bro. We were excited about it 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Been excited about it for months.
Been excited about it for a while, right? This is one where this is our new, when she pops up, we pay attention. Man and Fiero taking on Mayra Bueno Silva. It's finally happening. Both of them with records of 7-1. Only difference is Silva's got a draw on there at 7-1-1. Anyway, Manon's at a minus 230. Mayra is at a plus 195. That line actually got wider since the first time they were scheduled. Yeah. I think Vegas saw the action that came in on Manon, and they took a deep breath. They paused. They reassessed. They re-released the lines with a little bit more juice on them, and the public responded accordingly and pushed that line even further, and justifiably so. Probably my most confident person on the card to get a win is going to be Manon on Saturday night. Over under rounds is at 2.5, by the way. What do you got?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, what value, unless you're going to utilize her as a parlay piece, you're going to take on Manon. So a lot of people and a lot of the cash you've been seeing coming in, which is extremely chalky, is that under 2.5. I don't know if I really like that. I liked obviously Manon when she was a little bit, you know, she was more like the minus 200 range, high 190s, whatever it was. But Silva, dude, she's a threat on the ground. She has no wrestling. She doesn't know how to get it to the ground, but she's got BJJ. She uses her BJJ when someone either A, takes her down and she accepts literally like pulling guard, or something happens and it ends up on the ground. She doesn't know how to get anything to the ground, but if it is in the ground, she has a path to victory, which makes it a little bit nervous with Fiorot, who can literally run in and do stuff that's a little erratic and a little like non-technical. Someone could slip. That makes me a little bit nervous. Honestly, I was going heavy on her last week. I never want to put a chick in a parlay, dude.
Yeah, I can't. I was going to have you walk that back. But go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying I would never put her in a parlay. So I don't know what I'm going to do here, man. I don't want to play under 2.5 because that's uber chalky. I don't want to play her money line uber chalky. I'm not going to put her in a parlay. So I just bail.
No, as of right now, under 2.5 is at plus money. So I would say under 2.5. I had to look it up because I was like, I knew it was close. I knew it was close to picking, but it's plus 100 right now. So get that one for one. Go under 2.5. Yeah, under 2.5. Take it. I know we're sacrificing 2 minutes and 30 seconds there, but take it. I love it. All right, cool. We'll ride. Just rinse and repeat what I said a couple weeks ago. Manon is a future contender. She's an absolute monster. A killer, a woman with knockout power and killer instinct that knows how to finish fights. It's a rare, rare breed. I'll take her plus 100 on the under 2.5. I love that. I'll get excited about that all day. All right. Jim Miller, my man, taking on Eric Gonzalez. Jim Miller at 32-16, taking on Eric Gonzalez at 14-5. Eric Gonzalez plus 195. Jim Miller minus 230. Over under on rounds is at 2.5 here, Trey. I'm going to say it because I say it every time.
Okay.
How do I feel about Jim Miller?
Great steak sauce.
Best nickname in the game. Best nickname in the game. Jim A10 Miller. Producer Jake, I know you're eating Thai food, but yes or no? I want you to hop in here for this. Yes or no? A10's the most badass aircraft there is.
Have him. Producer Jake, come in.
Yes.
Yes. And there it is. I just wanted you to do the noise. That's it, man. That's it. Those of you who are not aware, the A10 Warthog has a is it a 40 mil? What's the millimeter on that? I think it's a, is it a 40? I don't know what it is, but it's at the nose, and that bad boy, they call it the tank buster, but just A10, like the chat says, A10 go, and that's all you hear, man. That's it. And then it's just destruction. My favorite plane, my absolute favorite aircraft. I love it. But anyway, enough fanboying out over aircraft because you don't care about that at all. Jim Miller taking on Eric Gonzalez.
No, not at all. Speaking of sounds though, Dale, I'd like you to talk about this for a quick second because I'm pretty sure I hear Jim Miller do the same sound after a round, after any round one, which is wah, 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 wah.
What are you talking about?
No cardio, dude. He's a round one fighter.
What are you talking about? Jim Miller has fantastic cardio.
Absolutely not. BJJ guy freaking's got enough wrestling to get it done. That's all he is. Meat and potatoes, round one fighter. If you want to play Jim Miller, play him in round one. don't play freaking Eric Gonzalez as UFC debutant here tonight. But if you're going to play Jim Miller and you want to get better than a minus 230, play him in round one.
I disagree with all of this. All of them. I disagree with every part of this. Jim Miller has fantastic cardio. It's not as good as it was since he got Lyme disease, but the guy's not 10 doing
10 years ago.
The guy has not been in the UFC for 30 plus fights with a suspect gas tank. Guys with suspect gas tanks don't last that long.
They
will
get
choked
out or they get knocked out.
Jim Miller, I forget about there's not a lot that I forget. I always forget though how disrespectful you are towards my man Jim Miller. Right. I always forget that. And I think it's because he so willingly accepts fights with everyone that you just kind of forget that the type of people that he's fought and the wins that he has. I don't know, man. It bums me out sometimes. The guy's legit OG of the game and you're such a hater.
No, I'm not a hater. I just am a realist.
I'm gonna tell you everybody that Jim Miller has lost to, with the exception of his three most recent losses. Okay.
If you wouldn't mind, state the round with which he lost.
Okay, I can. That's an odd one. Okay, but I'll go ahead and do that. All right. So, very strange. All right. Ben Henderson by decision. All right. Okay. Nate Diaz. Round two, Cowboy, round two, yeah. Beneil Dariush, decision, Chiesa, round two, Diego, decision, Poirier, a majority decision. So that means the judge scored it for him to over Poirier, lost to Pettis by decision, Trinaldo by decision, Dan Hooker, round one, Oliveira, round one. And then he's got three. He's lost three out of his last four. But every single person that I just named is either a top five fighter or a former champ or challenger. 30 plus fights. And with the exception of your last three losses, which were to Joe Selecki, Scott Holtzman, and who was the other one? Vince Pichel. But Vince Pichel is easy money. With the exception of those three, every other person that's beat him is either a former contender, former champ, or a current top fiver. It's just your disrespect towards Jim Miller is just staggering. I don't understand it. He should easily beat Eric Gonzalez. And if Eric Gonzalez beats him, he should retire. Just throw that out there.
I'm just worried. I'm worried. Okay. I think if he doesn't get it done in round one, I'm worried about Eric Gonzalez in round two and round three. This is a guy, dude.
Okay.
That watch some of his amateur fights. The guy throws these unorthodox punches, but he leaves himself arms wide open, straight up Creed style, which gets him pieced up. But he throws heavy. So I'm worried. Older guy, Lyme disease, freaking no cardio. Older guy, older guy, older guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two of your boys' losses came to Humberto Bandanai and Rafa Garcia, both of which, unsuccessful UFC runs as well. So he hasn't beaten anybody of UFC talent. So
what are we doing here?
I'm taking Jim Miller. I don't like him at 230, but I'll probably do a little M&M parlay, a little Miller Marquez.
Ooh, M&M.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Ricky Cash at Slip. Here we go. Sick. Co-main event of the evening. Oh boy. I don't understand this card, but here we are. Andre Arlovsky taking on Carlos Felipe, or is it Felipe?
Felipe.
Somewhere. So I had a great conversation real quick before we break down this fight. I had a great conversation with one of our, I don't like saying fans because that's such a weird thing and it sounds like pretentious.
Friends.
Oh man, you're such a stud when it comes to this stuff. Had a conversation with one of our friends, Marvin, and Marvin is devilishly good looking. So any ladies out there that listen to the show, I know that you're few and far between, but let us know, hook you up with Marvin. Marvin is from Brazil. And, he's got blonde hair and blue eyes too. So he somehow fits in right with us. Marvin, if you think, let me, 'cause we talked about Hitler being alive still. If you think that Hitler didn't escape to South America and the Nazis didn't go down there and just populate all of South America with a bunch of blonde haired, blue eyed Aryans, you are mistaken, because Marvin is blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, he is just, dude, this kid, he's talking to me. He's got a Brazilian accent. I'm like, what? He looks like you.
What? How are you so hot, dude?
He's like a 7% less handsome version of you, but he's Brazilian. I don't understand it. Anyway, I say all that to say this. He's like, I had a good laugh at you guys because even though you think that you like to pronounce things correctly, you guys suck at pronouncing Brazilian names. So me just butchering Carlos Felipe or whatever the case may be, or Felipe, whatever his name is, I'm sure Marvin's like, oh, gosh, I can't believe this. So, yeah, anyway.
And that's why you went back to me and said, thanks, Marvin.
Yes, Marvin. Yeah. What I want to do is, I mean, we have a couple fluent Portuguese speaking friends, and we need to utilize them. Probably Marvin. We need to get Marvin's picture and go after like Brazilian female fighters, and then have him sort of like, we'll just dub him like in your spot or my spot.
Yeah.
And just do like a translate thing. Like, that's how we get like Amanda Hebus on the show, is we have Marvin Messenger.
Dude, I'll just fly him to San Diego. I'll have him like sit on my lap, and then he'll just be in front of me, and I'll just talk behind him.
No, he's in California. He's from Brazil originally, but now he lives in California.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Where did he say he's from? Curitiba. Curitiba? Is it Curitiba?
That's in California.
No, that's where he's from in Brazil. They have UFC events there. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we gave this guy a lot of airtime. Carlos Felipe, Andre Arlovsky. We have another friend of the show that is super high on Andre Arlovsky. My man has hit us up with no less than 7 DMs saying Andre Arlovsky is the lock of the card. How do you feel about that? You agree with this?
I don't agree with it. It's the lock of the card, but I agree it's a lock. Dude, you think I'm disrespectful to freaking Jim Miller? You know your boy cannot stand himself some freaking Carlos Felipe, dude.
I know you don't like him.
Fucking sucks, dude.
I know you do. I know.
He's cannonball, shit ton of volume, no damage. You want to play a decision heavyweight guy? This is him right here. This is a la carte. Freaking, you're getting a decision. You're never getting a knockout. You're getting a boring, lackluster, fat cannonball dude. That's all you're getting. Arlovsky, there's been this freaking notion out there that, oh, glass chin, he's getting older, 42 years old. No. This dude's got footwork, he's using his leg kicks, he's dynamic, great fight IQ. I love me some freaking mouth guard that looks like a dog about to bite into some meat, dude. He's gonna freaking chow down on this porker that is Carlos Felipe.
I mean, Andre Arlovsky has won 3 of his last 4. His only loss came via knockout. His last 2 losses have come via knockout. I understand the notion that, you know, there was this idea for a while that he had a glass chin, right? The loss to Stipe, then Alistair Overeem, then Josh Barnett, then Francis Ngannou. Like this thing where it was like, man, come on, dude. And all of them are stoppages. So people are like, golly, man, I don't even know if we can do that anymore. You know, it's a big deal. But then comes back, beats the big baby Junior Albini, wins over Stefan Struve, both of which are decisions. And then 3 decision losses in a row, beats Rothwell by decision, then gets knocked out by Jairzinho, and then just decision after decision after decision. If I'm Andre Arlovsky, or if I'm looking at this fight, I think you just play over 2.5 here. It's hard taking an over in a heavyweight fight. Because I agree with you that Felipe doesn't possess a lot of power, but he does put out a lot of volume. To your point, a fat guy with volume is dangerous. And I don't know how much of Arlovsky getting all of these decisions, you know, whatever, 13 of his last 15 fights being by decision, win or lose. I don't know how much of those have been necessarily because he wasn't facing guys without power so much as he's just been very elusive. And the times when he wasn't able to be elusive against Rozenstruik and Aspinall, he went to sleep.
Right.
So if he can remain elusive, it goes over. He's not knocking anybody out, and Philippe's not going to knock him out because he's being elusive. The idea of taking an oh man, taking an over in a heavyweight fight is like betting the under in a football game. It like you're asking to be bored. I just don't know. Morally, I don't know if I can do that. It just, it goes against the fiber of my being. I want to see violence. I want to see big boy violence.
But dude, you're choosing to be bored and also obtain no value. I'm pretty sure the over 2.5 is like close to -200 at this
point. No. Oh my gosh. Don't be silly.
I'm not going to be, that's me being real, dude. I'm pretty sure I saw it at -180 a week ago.
Oh my gosh. It's -210 over 2.5.
Oh, what? Dude, what? It's gone up so much. I told you, dude.
You're right. I stand corrected. You're right. You're right.
So what do you do now?
Take the under and hope that Arlovsky goes night night. I don't know. Probably avoid this fight, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Or I'll just say this: if you feel convicted on either one of these gentlemen, it's one of these ones. We'll say it like this: if you feel convicted either way, play that side. You're getting them at near even money. Something in your heart makes you believe that Andrei Arlovsky's going to win this fight. Rock 'em, sock 'em, robots. Get after it. Same thing with Carlos Felipe, whatever his name is. Get after it. Just get after it.
Get after it.
Get after it. Main event of the evening. Aspen Ladd at 9-1. Norma Dumont, 6-1. 145-pound tilt here, Trey. Aspen Ladd, -130. Norma Dumont, +110, +111. Over on rounds is at 4.5.
What's the deal here, dude? What's the deal? She goes up to 145, mm-hmm. Aspen Ladd. Mm-hmm. Is this just because she obviously lost the ability to fight the Macy Chason fight and she just needs a pickup fight, or is this the right division for her?
I think it's the right division for her. I don't know. I don't want to say that Aspen Ladd's undisciplined. I don't know that she's, I don't necessarily know that that's the case, but her body composition plays a large factor into stuff like this. You have guys like, we'll use Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury put in road work and still looks the way that he looks. There's a lot of people that just, I'm sure with the right diet, nutrition, and trainer could reach dystopian Greek god level aesthetics.
Right.
I just don't know that a lot of people, if their body composition will just do that in a reasonable amount of time. And Aspen Ladd's been fighting professionally for, you know, a handful of years now and has been in the gym for a dozen or so years. And if you're just not going to be six packed and biceps at this point, you're just not going to do it. So I don't think she put herself in a position to make weight anyway in the Macy Chason fight. Chason, sorry, we were corrected on that.
Dude. Producer Jake, fucking legend.
Wait, what are you laughing at? I missed it.
I'm laughing at Producer Jake's. What did he do?
Oh, man. I'm laughing because Marvin just hopped into the chat on the live stream and said, how much did I miss? Marvin, we just talked about you for the last 10 minutes, man.
Apparently, you're super hot.
Yeah.
I think we'll send some photos.
Yeah. that's so funny. Producer Jake's ripping bowls in the background. Oh, man. I don't necessarily think that she was, I just think it was one of those things where like, she's not going to make 135 pounds consistently. She doesn't appear to have whatever discipline necessary to make that happen. And then she started her period, menstrual cycle started. And, there's just nothing you can do about that, you know? And she said it messed with the weight cut. There was some Misha Tate went after her and said, no, you were never going to make the weight, this, that, and the other. And they flipped her around pretty quick and put her at 145. She was in shape. She just, the weight wasn't there. And then Holly Holm went out with a knee injury. And now she's gifted, literally gifted, silver lining, if you will. Another man's trash is Aspen Ladd's treasure here. She gets a main event spot against an opponent. In my opinion, I know you thought she was going to beat Macy easily. I think this is a more favorable matchup for her against Norma.
It's funny you say that. I'm on the opposite side of that.
Okay.
I was all about Aspen Ladd in the Macy fight because I think she would be able to stranglehold Macy, utilize her thick chick behavior and bring it to the ground and do some good ground and pound. Norma Dumont is a thick chick within herself. It's up 145. Look at the thickest chick in the 145 division in my mind in Felicia Spencer when Norma Dumont fought her. Felicia Spencer could couldn't get freaking Norma DeMont down. So how is Aspen Ladd, who's not on the same wrestling pedigree as Felicia Spencer, going to get Norma DeMont down? It's not going to happen. So I think Norma DeMont's going to be the better striker. I don't think Aspen Ladd's going to be able to drown her and take her into deep wrestling waters like she would have Macy. Dude, I'm a huge Aspen Ladd fan, but I'm going Norma DeMont in this fight and taking plus money.
Okay. I'm cool with it because I'm on Norma DeMont anyway. One, we have strayed away from science the last few weeks, and I don't like that. We've gone against scientific reason. And truthfully, it's kind of helped us out a little bit. You know, we questioned the science, and it turned out to be right. There's nothing wrong with questioning science. Part of science is being wrong. It's called experimentation.
Right. Well, I would never, Dale, I would never mandate science because there is time to investigate and make
sure. Well, yeah, you need to provide your own investigation into the pros and cons of each fighter. We can't just blankly mandate bet on all women's underdogs. This is going to be what's best for everyone. You need ample time to sample to make sure that that sort of, you know, strategy would work for everybody before you do that.
Well, and I'm not going to mandate something like that for young children that literally don't know what they're doing yet. You know what I mean? The science hasn't been there long enough.
Well, you got to be at least 18 to open a banking account or open a betting account anyway. And you have to do so in a state where it's legal unless you're using an overseas book. So again, there's all these different normal hiccups that checks and balances, if you will, that would push that out. So if you ignored those checks and balances, it would almost seem irresponsible.
I agree. I concur.
You concur. All right, man, let's break down the prelims. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Ariane Carnelosi taking on Estela Nunes. Estela Nunes at 7-1. Carnelosi at 13-2. Carnelosi -155. Nunes at a +135. Over under rounds is at 2.5. I'm inclined to believe, again, that this line should be wider. I like Carnelosi in this spot. Plus, -155 seems like a good price tag on her. What do you think?
I think there's a little bit of recency bias.
Fair. I appreciate your honesty with me, by the way.
No worries. Nunes hasn't fought in 3 years, dude. That's a little bit of reason why you're getting the +135. Having said that, when she did fight 3 years ago, it was what, for a belt and one championship? But let me back up for a second.
Back it up.
Her route to that belt was very short. Okay. Makes her promotional debut. I don't know if something fell out, but she literally gets a fight against freaking Andrea Lee, the next fight for the belt.
No, Angela.
Angela Lee.
And it's Angela and Andrea.
Angela and Andrea.
Yes. Yeah, so Andrea Lee fights in the UFC. Angela Lee fights in ONE FC.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrea does not exist.
Why did I say Andrea?
Because you live in California where everybody churches their name up. It's not Andrea.
Okay. Well,
Carnelosi is literally built like a fire hydrant. She's the only chick that's more ripped and more dude-like in composition than Jessica Andrade. She makes Jessica Andrade look like a 16-year-old JV football player.
Well, but she's super aggressive too, which me likey in the women's realm.
Yes, for sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I just think that we go back to Nunes. She's a good kickboxer. Yeah. She has zero grappling.
Yeah.
And Carnelosi, she's aggressive and she looks for that, not grappling per se, but she looks for that kind of like half guard ground and pound aggressive style look. So I think someone who's banking on, let me use my footwork and move around, that ain't going to work. Little honey in the freaking apex.
Whoa,
I'm going with the aggressor, dude.
Whoa. So who's the aggressor here?
Carnelosi.
All right. So you're on the same side as me with Carnelosi here.
Yeah, I am.
You did this weird Ariel Helwani thing where you made it seem like you were against me, and then you're actually claiming to be on my side here.
Don't ever call me Ariel Helwani.
I won't. You're right. You know what? That was
pull guard.
Yeah. How many episodes in are we? 70 something?
No, we've hit triple digits easy, dude.
We've had episode 100 already? No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
We're not counters.
We're not counters, but we haven't been doing this for 2 years.
Yes,
two full years. Not 2 full years. No way.
Close.
We just did episode 50 not too long ago.
I don't understand how that mathematically works out, though, because we do
One episode a week.
Yeah.
And how many weeks? 52 weeks in a year. 52.
I don't know. I checked the science. I'm going to investigate that.
I'm not sure about that. I can do poor people math, and I'm telling you, simple addition I've got this. I've got this under control. I don't think we've been doing this for 54 weeks. 54 weeks. Or no, I'm sorry. 104 weeks. 104 weeks would put us at 2 years.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do the math, dude.
Well, don't do the math. Just look it up.
No, you're doing bar napkin math. I want to do legit science. Bar
napkin math. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. We just need to count them all. Jake, log into our account and count all of them. I'm just kidding. Please don't do that. All right. I'll go Carnelosi here. I don't know. Maybe under 2.5. No?
No, dude. No. Just take Carnelosi.
All right. Yeah, so the chat says channel started in 2020, and I can appreciate that, but we only started doing video then, and it's because we switched over to a new recording software. I'm gonna clear the air on something here. We do video because our recording software allows us to stream to YouTube. We recorded the longest time with no video, and we were just as happy as pigs in mud. We do the video because. One, I think it increases the banter because we get to see each other, but also the software supports it, so there's no reason not to do it. But prior to that,
that's why you look at our views on YouTube and it's like nothing, but then you look at our downloads and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
they actually do something.
This is how they have sponsors, because they actually get downloads. Oh, isn't that something? Yeah, the YouTube channel is a because we can. Not this is not a love, you know. I mean, although I do love every one of you that show up. For this consistently, I do appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, I think it'd be fun too. Like we can do like a drinking party too, and we could like randomly pick someone in the chat and plop them in here and get their take on a fight and be sick.
Well, next time I'm out, you do that.
I'm gonna do that.
You do that. You do that because every time I try to pull a random in on Instagram Live, they always have their pants down or they just yell the same weird thing over and over again. It's always a nightmare. So
it is weird. A lot of pants down.
A lot of pants down. All right, my pick for fight of the night. Guaranteed violence is this next fight. Sleeper, they've got it buried. They've got it buried as an early prelim. Brandon Davis taking on Deny Batterjaw. -170 for Deny. Brandon Davis +145 over and around is at 2.5. I'm going to say something. I don't know if there is a person, and he just came back on the roster, just got added back. I don't know if there's a better person out there getting beat up and looking good doing it than Brandon Davis.
Well, and his quality of competition, dude.
Yeah.
It's gnarly. Freaking Giga Chikadze, Zabit, Naga, blah, 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 whatever his last name is.
Magomed Sharipov, yep.
Dude, you just crushed that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, he's a great fighter. Durable, volume.
I enjoy him. Like, he's lost to Kyle Bochniak, Enrique Barzola, Zabit Magomed Sharipov, Kung Yo Kang, and Giga Chikadze. Then, you know, obviously they gave him the boot after losing 5 of 6 after a win on the Contender Series, then went to the regional scene, knocked out 4 in a row real fast, had an act of 2020 and 2021. They bring him right back, and they give him another killer. Like, he just does not, one, he does not get any easy fights, and two, well, that's really kind of it. Yes, they don't give him any easy fights, and he's got another tough one here in Deny. I'll say this. If this fight goes over 1.5, it's Brandon Davis's to lose because he will put the pace on Deny, and Deny will fade because he is 0% body fat and puts everything into every one of his shots, and he's an arm puncher. He doesn't have the fundamentals to conserve energy to throw correctly. Everything is an arm punch. Everything is lactic acids in the shoulders and the traps and the lies and the buys and all that shit. He literally, everything is everything is big body movement when he's coming at you. Can you hear the vacuum cleaner?
Is that a vacuum?
That's a vacuum cleaner.
Sound like an alarm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it super annoying?
No, no. It just makes me wonder what type of vacuum you have.
Well, so we have hardwood floors. Like, so I'm gonna brag on myself for a little bit. We have like real hardwood floors, not the engineered hardwood or laminate. So we've got, it's like a vacuum / wet mop kind of deal to help clean those, because you can't mop a regular hardwood floor because it'll cause it to bubble.
Yeah. I also am wondering why your wife is at 10:30 at night vacuuming. I feel like that's very counterproductive to the kids that are sleeping. It's a weird time, dude. It's a weird time.
All of our kids sleep with white noise machines. And then two, my mom and my my grandpa or my papa are coming to visit tomorrow. So we're doing a little last minute house cleaning.
Ooh. Not only is the vacuum going, but your internet's going too. Oh, geez.
Is it really?
It was. You just froze. But
you froze good. On my screen.
Oh, that's all good. It's all good. It's all good. All right, I'm going to take Brandon Davis, dude, at +145.
Go for it.
I'm taking him. I think quality of competition, we talk about that every single week. I don't think Dinah's fought that. He's fought scrappers, dude. He fought my boy Kevin Natividad and freaking stopped him the first round. Do I think that Kevin Natividad is as good as the freaking Giga Chikadzes of the world and what he's seen, what he's had to endure? Absolutely not. I'm taking Brandon Davis. I can get it +145 for a dog that's going to fight for my money, dude. Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. One of the fighters on this next fight, one that people are very excited about, Ludovic Klein taking on Nate Landwehr. excuse me. Ludovic Klein at 17-3, Nate Landwehr at 14-4. Again, we're talking about dogs that will fight for your money. Nate Landwehr at a +310 is that guy that will fight for your money. Now, he'll show up to fight, but he should be grossly outmatched. And I think the odds reflect this with Ludovic Klein at a -375. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. Ludovic Klein for me here in this spot is a DraftKings play, not a regular straight up bet play. And I'm not going to put him. I'm not going to put him in a parlay just in case Nate Landwehr does some dumb shit. It makes me nervous.
And dude, remind me, didn't do the show prep.
It's okay.
Nate's last two fights were against Juicy J and Darren Elkins. Those are the last two, right?
Roger that. And we thought he got gifted the win over Elkins. We both scored the fight for Elkins.
Right. So he's 0-2. He's 0-2. And got obliterated via flying knee with Juicy J. You don't come back stronger getting freaking knocked out like that. That was heavy. Klein, I think, is going to get the better of exchanges, obviously. The one thing I'm worried about, and I would like to see what happens, is Klein has had weight issues in the past. Let's see what he looks like if it lands. If he looks a little drained, then that's going to make me think, wow, maybe Nate could get the better of exchanges with someone that looks drawn out. But if Klein can get his weight under control, I think that he is the more technically sound fighter.
That over under in rounds under 2.5 is at a -160. I'll probably just take that.
I agree. That's a good one.
Question in the chat says, if Brandon loses, does he get cut again? Probably not. They'll probably give him another fight. They probably sign him to a 2-fight deal. Because he is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is he stepping in on short notice for this fight?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Camp? No, because Nate was supposed to fight someone two cards ago and that fell out. Well, he hasn't had a full camp. Yeah. It's short notice, but not super short notice.
Gotcha. I mean, he didn't have it was like a 8-week camp for Brandon Davis, was it?
No.
Okay. All right. Next fight on the card. Excuse me. Lupi Godinez taking on Luana Carolina. Lupi is making history. If she can make weight and shows up to fight, she will make history as the fastest turnaround in UFC history. She is going to fight on back-to-back weekends. Taking on Luana Carolina here. Carolina at 7-2. Lupi Godinez at 6-1. We're having issues finding a line for this because it just got announced. So we don't necessarily have a line for it. I would be shocked if Lupi was not a sizable favorite. She looked absolutely stellar on Saturday night. What do you think?
Well, what happened to Sarge, dude?
I don't know.
Well, wasn't that the fight?
That was the fight.
Yeah. We don't know if she had COVID or injured or anything like that.
I truthfully do not know.
Okay. I mean, this was an easy pick when it was fucking Sarge versus Carolina. I was all over Sarge, the best 500 fighter on the planet. The only thing I could say about Carolina that makes me a little bit nervous is, dude, she struggles to get back up if she gets taken down. She's someone who does not know how to put her back up against the cage and get back to her feet. She will accept bottom position and she will stay there to the round to restart and then refight. So I think if Loopy can come in and implement any formation of a ground game, that makes me nervous. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm staying away from this as a short notice women's fight. That is sketchy, beyond sketchy.
I'm not, man. I'm all in on Loopy. Bro, okay. She looks so good against Silvana Juarez. She looked fantastic. Her hands were crispy. Like literally so crisp, like spaghetti out of the box, crack it, like crispy hands, bro. She looked fantastic. And then once she got her hurt, armbar, snatched it. I know she's, as the chat said, she's fighting up a weight class. I don't care. Loopy looked good. She looked motivated. You know she's feeling herself. And she's coming off that women where she literally took zero damage, bro. She literally, she looked untouchable. It was like, I don't know, man. It's like when you're playing a video game and you give your little brother the sticks and you just don't even tell him the controls and you just go out there and just mash them. That's what it looked like. I love Loopy. I love her in the spot. I'm obviously not going to hammer her at like a minus 300, but we'll pay attention to see what it goes on. And plus she's got a wins over your girl, Vanessa. Yeah, she beat your girl up.
Not the stripper, dude.
From the Glitter Factory.
Not the stripper.
Exotic dancer.
Yes, that's right.
Exotic dancer. Adult entertainment specialist. Danny Roberts, 17-5, taking on Ramazan Emiev. Emiev at 20-4. Excuse me. I got a little hitch in my giddy up here. Emiev.
You know what you should take, Dale?
What's that?
Some hot chocolate.
Ooh. I like what you did there, Danny Roberts. Hot chocolate plus 265, Ramazan Emiev minus 315. The other good parlay piece for this weekend, Ramazan Emiev. This fight should be relatively uncompetitive. Roberts has one path to victory, and that is a knockout punch. Emiev has shown himself to get hit from time to time, but as long as he can avoid that, make his clear entrances, he's going to ragdoll Roberts here. This is a bad matchup for Danny, as far as I'm concerned. Emiev as a decently confident parlay pick for me. This weekend.
Yeah, you know what's funny about Danny Roberts is actually I wouldn't mind betting on Danny Roberts in any other spot just because he's a well-rounded fighter, and what he likes to do is mix it up, level change, actually implement a little bit of wrestling. But dude, you when you're talking levels in wrestling, then you go against Ramazan Emiev, dude, it's that Russian grappling freaking Khabib style half guard ground and pound. You're not getting a breath, you're gonna drown deep waters. He's going to drown in some deep hot chocolate, dude.
Yeah, for sure. Emiev's got a weird body shape. I know we body shame a lot and talk a lot about people, but a very strange salamander style body for Emiev.
When you say salamander, do you mean he changes colors, Dale?
No, that would be a chameleon. Dude, okay. What on earth, man?
We don't have those here in California.
Oh, buddy. Trey.
So what does a salamander have to do with a body style? That makes no sense.
Oh, man.
That is dumb.
Well, at least once a show, I just question what universe you grew up in. In what universe do people mix up chameleons and salamanders?
I'm pretty sure every universe, dude. That, come on.
Have you ever seen a salamander? Seagulls
and pelicans, dude. You know what I mean?
No, seagulls and pelicans look nothing alike. by the beach, and you're trying to tell me that you mix up a seagull and a pelican?
They're there, dude. They're over.
How
the
do
water.
You find your house every day?
GPS is a great invention.
I love you, man. It's so weird. A salamander, Small little amphibian, right? Very long body, disproportionately short appendages. So I can't say arms and legs because there's no differentiation on an amphibian or a lizard, but their legs are very short in proportion to their long, thin body, which is how Amoeba is shaped.
So like Artem Lobov is a salamander.
I'll use a reference that you understand. In Monsters, Inc., the bad guy.
I haven't seen Monsters, Inc., dude.
Yes, you have. The bad guy in Monsters, Inc. has the body type of Ramazan Amoeba.
The blue guy?
Yes. No, not the blue guy. Not Mike. The blue and purple lizard.
Dude, I haven't seen Monsters, Inc., man.
Not Mike. It's not Mike. Sully's the blue guy. Sully's the blue guy. Mike's the green. Mike Wachowski. And then Sully. We're off the rails here. We got one more. I love the chat here. Well, somehow we got a marine biologist listening to the show. Salamanders are a group of amphibians typically characterized by a lizard-like appearance.
Okay.
But like, you've never gone into a stream or a creek as a kid and lifted up rocks and caught salamanders?
A stream or a creek?
Yeah.
Those don't exist in this neck of the woods.
You guys don't have streams in California?
We have an ocean, dude.
Yeah, but you don't have stuff that flows into the ocean?
It's called a gutter.
Oh, man. I got to come out there sometime. Sounds like a weird, just a fairy tale almost. Just doesn't make sense.
It's very safe. We don't have to walk around with guns, knives, and tools, dude. We just live.
You don't have to, but you should.
All right. Whatever you say, dude.
I'm just saying, let's paint a scenario. Let's say you want to go to Costco, right? You're just going to Costco, having a good old time.
Yeah.
You're way in the back by like where they keep the milk at and everything else. Yeah. And you start hearing the faint popping of what sounds like fireworks. What's this weird popping noise? But it doesn't sound like fireworks once the people start screaming. And then everybody's running. And then the popping's getting closer. What are you doing?
Well, first off, how many times has that happened in your lifetime?
None, but I need to be prepared for when it does.
So should I like put on floaties right now because I'm preparing for a tsunami to hit at moment's notice?
No.
Should I wear floaties all day, walk around just like inflated, like fucking Michelin man, and just be like, hey, everybody, you never fucking know.
You could. That's a thing that you could do.
Okay, I'm going to wear floaties all day tomorrow just to prove your point, dude.
Proving the point. No, you didn't put me on my heels because it's such a ridiculous counter argument that
it's so good. You're like, fuck. All right, Trey is genius, dude.
It's not genius at all. There's no logic to this whatsoever. Dude,
I'm wearing a snorkel mask all day tomorrow.
You should.
Just in case.
That's fine. Go ahead. I want you to. I think you should.
I do.
I think you should be prepared for all situations. And in your situation, I think a snorkel mask would be the best bet.
Okay. I'll wear it all day tomorrow.
Because in the event somebody pulls a gun on you, I don't think pulling guard is going to work. So wear a snorkel mask. That'll do it for sure. If you're not wearing a snorkel mask tomorrow, everything is a lie. I know you have one too because you're in the ocean all the time, chumming the water. All right, featured prelim: Andrew Sanchez 13-6 taking on Bruno Silva at 20-6. Andrew Sanchez +135, Bruno Silva -155. Over under rounds at 2.5. Trey, should these odds be flipped?
Ooh, I was actually wondering if they should be wider. I feel like the UFC is all on this Bruno Silva guy.
Interesting. Why? Why is the line like this, and who are you on?
The line's like this because Silva possesses amazing power, fantastic ground and pound. He's not very technical striking, but he freaking throws. Andrew Sanchez likes to work within close quarters, so he could do that like dirty boxing style. So I think a lot of people, I know you had your fight of the night. I actually think this is going to be the fight of the night. I think there's going to be just a flurry of just short punches with a ton of power behind it in close quarters. I think both these guys are very durable, though, so I wouldn't say under 2.5. I wouldn't even say inside the distance. I think it's going to be a full-on brawl. I think this line, if anything, is going to get closer. I don't know. It's, to me, it's a straight-up pick 'em.
Interesting. You know that these guys, the last person that Andrew Sanchez beat, do you know who it was? Mm-mm. Wellington Turman. Do you know who the last person that Bruno Silva beat?
Wellington Turman.
That's right.
Wow. Common denominator. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going Andrew Sanchez at plus money just because I think he'll fight for my money. Plus, his nickname is El Derte. That's hard. Wrestling background. Good cardio. Hands have been getting better. I hope he doesn't use them against Bruno Silva because I think that's how he'll get beat. Hopefully he uses that wrestling. He's got decent cardio. Makes Bruno Silva work in the early rounds, takes over in the latter half of the second and the third, and gets that unanimous 29-28, Andrew Sanchez.
That's what I had. I had noted. I had Silva inside the distance, Sanchez by decision.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I had played.
Cool. All right. You want to run through money lines real quick?
Yep.
All right, cool. Nunes, Carnelosi.
Carnelosi.
I'm on that too. Davis, deny.
Davis.
Interesting. Latter half.
Wait, yeah. You're Davis too, right?
Yeah, for right now. So all this is subject to change. Ludovic Klein, Landwehr.
Klein
as well. And then we've got Loopy, Carolina.
I'll go with your girl, Loopy.
There we go. I'm on Loopy as well. Ameev Roberts. All right, I'm on Ameev as well. Silva and Sanchez.
Oh, man, I'm going to take Sanchez by decision.
There we go. I'll take Sanchez as well. Marquez Wright.
Marquez.
I'm on Marquez as well. Mannon and Myra.
Mannon.
I'm on Mannon as well. Jim Miller, Gonzalez.
Oh. Do you freeze?
No, I'm right here.
Okay, I said Mannon, and then maybe you were in like such awe that it's like, oh, yeah, that's the parlay right there. Mannon.
Oh no. I said Miller or what's the other kid's name? Gonzalez.
I'll take Miller.
I'm at a boy. Arlovsky, Philippe.
Arlovsky.
I'll take, man. All right. Gosh, it feels weird, but sure. And Aspen Ladd, Norma Dumont.
Dumont.
I'm on Dumont as well, man. We're pretty much unanimous across the board here.
I like it. There we go.
All right, man. This feels like a solid 9-2 Saturday.
It does.
I feel like a good 9-2-er. All right, man. Before we go, because we're at our hour mark, we did want to talk about one more thing, right? Now that we've given you the meat and potatoes, if you were here for MMA talk, you've gotten it. Now something a little bit else. Now we're going off your regularly scheduled programming. John Gruden got fired. No, he resigned. I want to say this correctly. He resigned this week. You are a diehard Raiders fan, but you also hate PC culture. So I would love to give you an open floor to express your concerns about this or your feelings.
You know, I didn't really put anything together to say on the show tonight, but I've just been, a lot of stuff's just been swirling in my head. I've been obviously livid. I've talked about this a billion times. I think this whole cancel culture thing is fucking bullshit. I will say this. If you think that emails back from 2011 and, you know, most recent ones, I guess, up until 2014 are quote unquote bad, then you need to look at what's happening into the here and the now. And what I mean is look at the landscape of NFL players today. Look at the ones that are currently charged with DUIs, with misdemeanors, with freaking domestic violence, all that stuff. All that's happening now. And those players are either A, currently on roster, B, who's the cornerback that just got signed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Richard Sherman, get freaking put on what's going to be probably a Super Bowl bound team. They get opportunities. They get an opportunity for wealth, for their family to continue with it, everything, even though they've been involved in DUIs, domestic disputes, all this bullshit. And you take quote unquote bad emails, preferably negative language, and a guy loses $70 million on his contract. I'm done, dude. I'm done.
I think we're reaching a point where feelings matter more than felonies. It's how it makes you feel, right? Where I told you this. This is a different context, but it applies here, that history is written by the winners. And people that act as if there's not a war going on, they're not in the traditional sense, but there is a cultural shift, a cold war of PC culture that is happening right now. And if we allow people to continue to run roughshod over the various markets that exist, we'll reach a point of progressivism that there is no turning back from. For those of you who are unaware, John Gruden said in some emails back in 2014, 2013, he called a couple players and Roger Goodell, right, who is the commissioner of the NFL, he called him a faggot and a pussy. And that's it. I will say this much. If that is enough to get you fired from a job where you make $70 million a year, there's not a single one of us on this show or that listen to the show that are safe from this, this nonsense. And the more people lean into this and allow this kind of nonsense to happen where you pull things up from 10, 15, 20 years ago and treat it as if it is something that needs to be rectified now is ludicrous. History is what, you know, is exactly that. It has come to pass. They removed John Gruden. Here's the thing. I don't care about football at all, to be honest with you. I really don't care. This is just another example in a long line of nonsense that's happening. Tampa Bay, who he coached to a Super Bowl, they removed his name from the Ring of Honor, which is like their version of the Hall of Fame. They removed him from that as if somehow him writing those words in an email, prevented somehow negates what he did on the field. It's like when that, like the Joe Paterno pedophile thing, right? Mm-hmm. So like you had the entire Penn State program cover up a gigantic, basically pedophile operation for years. And they forfeited wins throughout like seven seasons. What does an old man touching a kid in a shower have to do with the ball being thrown on the field? They are not one and the same. John Gruden calling Roger Goodell a pussy in an email does not mean he did not coach those people to a championship. So yeah. The idea to try to remove him as if he did not exist is ludicrous. All of these people very upset about, you know, oh, this person owned slaves or this person wrote this or said that back then. We're going to tear down their statue. We're going to remove their name from the history books. That doesn't change what happened, nor does it help. And all you're basically doing is hiding the peas and the mashed potatoes while you're being fed. You just want it to be a little bit more palatable for you. You're still getting it. Whether you want it or not, you're still getting it. Did you know Columbus Day was on Monday?
It's actually Indigenous Peoples Day, Dale.
I understand that, but did you know that Columbus Day was on Monday?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember when we used to have Columbus Day off for school?
Oh, I remember it.
Now we don't get that anymore. Now that's not that I go to school anymore, but that's the thing now. That doesn't mean that Christopher Columbus didn't sail over here. Honestly, he wasn't the first person to do so, but that doesn't mean he didn't do it. And you can change the name and call it Indigenous Peoples Day. You can do this, that, and the other, but everybody knows it's Columbus Day. You can change it to whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can tear down every statue that you possibly want. You can remove everybody's name from the Ring of Honor. It doesn't change what was done. And you can try to erase it, but ultimately, and at some time in memoriam, it will be forgotten and it'll disappear and people will wonder what happened there. But at a certain point in time, people have to go, no, not anymore. And I don't know when that day will be, Trey, but I will say this. If you're on the side that is for removing people and their accomplishments and who they are and their history and their ancestry and their lineage from history, if you're on that side and the tables turn, you should not expect mercy because you will not receive it.
My thing is at this day and age, or where we are in this day and age, is you have to stand up and you have to stand tall. Ooh. We have succumbed to these elitist mentality that you have to set a precedence.
Yeah.
And that precedence that you set has to be extreme enough to remove someone for saying bad things 10 years ago.
Right.
What we need to do is stand up and say, that's fucking ridiculous. I don't care. Looking at Randy Moss on the NFL Network crying because of fucking John Gruden's language, give me a break. If I was on that desk sitting next to Randy Moss, I'd be like, dude, I understand racism is a horrible thing, but you're acting like a fucking bitch, dude. if you really care and you're going to cry that much, then go stand up, go march, go do whatever you're going to do, but don't remove someone from an email that was stated 10 years ago.
It just, it's one of those things where I just don't see, again, it goes back to the idea of feelings. If you're feeling, if you allow something like that to manifest that way over your life and have power over you, I can't help that weakness.
Look at the antithesis that has been Dana White, though. We loop this back to the UFC.
Yes, please.
Dana White has, from the onset of COVID, all these transgender, whatever you want to call, all these things that have come in and clouded what is, you know, popular mainstream media right now. He has straight away stayed to what is the foundation, and it has become the most popular sport because of it. Dana White is a leader of that. You can say whatever you want, fighter pay, he sucks, whatever. I don't give a shit. He's back to the core of what sports was. It is, hey, you come in for your talents and you play. We leave the politics to the side. Fuck you. That's it.
Yeah. I agree. I will say this, that there's a lot of things about Dana White I don't like, but he does appear steadfast in his convictions. And I say the word conviction purposely there, because if you are not steadfast in your beliefs, they are not convictions, they are hobbies. And Dana White at times can be hypocritical on certain things, but for the most part, the core staples, he seems pretty convicted on. So I will give him credit. I will give credit where credit's due. All right, guys, if you don't already do so, please follow us on all social media platforms at Punchless MMA, Instagram, Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, all that stuff. You can find us at Punchless MMA. If you want to write us an email, you can do so. Chat at Punchless MMA. Shout out to our show sponsors, Allegiance Clothing and Stay Classy Meats. And everybody that continues to support the show and listen to the show, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll talk to everybody on Saturday. And if we said anything that you don't like or you don't agree with, too fucking bad, man. no, but we do appreciate you. Seriously, thanks for checking out the show. And if it's not for you, just keep it moving. And I hope you find another MMA show that tickles your fancy in a way that we could not. All right. Leave us a review if you see fit. Thumbs up the video. Like, comment, subscribe, share. All that crap. Love you guys. Punchless Nation, we're out. We'll see you. Be good to each other.
Happy trails. Bang, bang.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.